That this is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore.
Amen.
Now, what happens? Where there is unity. Where there is unity. I want to thank God that probably of all churches I've known, there is more unity in this church than any other church I've known, and I'm getting on in years. But it is a blessing, and I thank God for that. I don't think I've scarcely heard a word of grumbling or a word of criticism, and that is great. That is a great ingredient for blessing in the church. Hallelujah. That's one of the ingredients. But then we read in Acts, of course, Psalm 133 was written probably 800-900 years before Jesus came. But it showed that unity is the place where you can expect blessing. But then again, they did not know the fullness of blessing until that great day, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, we know that Lord, that was indeed the birthday of the church. The church was born, and people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they knew the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, with them continually. Hallelujah. That's tremendous. And then as we go into that, we read in Acts chapter 2, the various things that happened, which was tremendous, how they experienced the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. It changed their hearts. It moved upon them. That 3,000 of them. And who were they, these 3,000? They were people who were zealous. They were people who knew the word of God. They had traveled from many parts of the known world just to be in Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost. They were zealous people. And they knew the word. But apparently they needed more, because we read in the 42nd verse of that chapter, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They needed something more. They had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they needed something more. And you say, well, the apostles' doctrine, is that all? They knew the word of God. They knew scripture. Scripture to them, they knew. That was tremendous. These are people who knew the word of God. But they realized that the word of God had been fulfilled in their presence. And that was tremendous. So they knew the word of God, but what else? What they did not know was the apostles' doctrine. And they continued under the steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, this was something that the church needed. I thank God that we celebrate the wonderful death of my Jesus, my Lord, every Sunday. I want to thank God that we celebrate this. I want to thank God for the ministry of our pastor and others. Well, I want to thank God for the ministry of our pastor, which has been a mighty blessing. And I pray, Lord, though, that he will be mightily blessed as he goes to the funeral celebration of his mother. I want to thank God for the celebration of my wife's life. I want to thank God for that. That was a mighty move. Praise his name. And it's tremendous when you can celebrate the life of a saint who's gone to be with the Lord. And so we celebrate, don't we, the apostles, the breaking of bread and the preaching of the word. But you know, they also continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in the study of the word of God. We don't know the Old Testament as they did. They knew it. We don't necessarily. And we need to imbibe that word of God. I don't know if you've ever read Psalm 119, but it would be a blessing to you. You read that the Lord, that his word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. That's tremendous. That's the word of God. Now, you need, we need, we all need to know the word of God. We need to know the word of God. I remember we used to sing a chorus to the Sunday school. We used to have sword drill, which was tremendous. That the kids knew exactly that the first one to find that scripture, the sword drill, they sword drill and they found it. And we used to sing a chorus, read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. If the children and young people need to grow, they need to read their Bible and pray every day. We older ones need to grow. When you stop growing, you're in trouble. All right, not this way, maybe that way, I don't know. But we've got to keep growing. We've got to keep growing in God, and that's tremendous. And how can we? By the study of God's word. You know, so often, we come along, two or three of us, perhaps two or three of us, to us Bible studies, to Bible detectives, to read the word of God. Is there only that amount of hunger for the word? It's so sad. There should be a hunger for the word of God. And may I just enthuse you to come around the word of God. It's so important, so important. I was privileged when I was a child and when I was an early teenager and a teenager, I was privileged to be in a church that was in blessing, that was in revival blessing. Not massive church, but a church that was moving in God. And you know what happened? Every Bible study, I remember lectures on revival. And people all were coming out to the mercy seats, coming out and kneeling before God as they came before the word of God, and the word of God, and they named, and we're talking about at least 50 or 50% of the people who were there on Sunday were there on the Bible study. And we had young people there. I remember a whole rectangle of chairs, 40 young people, two or three older people, but 40 young people on their knees before God in the prayer meeting, beseeching God for the salvation of souls. This was time after time. These were the necessary steps, the necessary qualifications for the church that is going to move forward in God. Thank God for the unity here. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. But we need to go forward. We need to go forward knowing the word of God. We need to go forward beseeching and having victory in prayer. Thank God we can have it. And there's just when I look back, I look at this church and I thank God it has a great plus. But let's add the other pluses. Shall we add the other pluses? Knowing the word of God, coming around the word of God, coming together in prayer, beseeching the Lord. You know, if we want to see people coming to the city, know the Lord, victories have got to be won on our knees. On our knees. And it'd be a great thing. Maybe my knees are not so good these days, but maybe a few prayer mats could be useful too. But we need to pray, I believe. And this is just an appeal. You know, there's various scriptures. We read, of course, and we've been told today, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. All kinds of things are going to happen. We're in the last days. We don't know what's going to happen. And we're going to be shaken. We're going to be shaken. But we'll not be moved if we're founded on the word, if we know the word. And that's got to be part of us. Every one of us need to be definitely built upon the word of God. So this is just something I want to share us. All word we are told is given for inspiration. It's God breathed. Hallelujah. You know, inspired, because God has breathed upon this word. And as we take it in, we are being built up. And I just pray that we've been not only a church of great fellowship, but we're a church that's getting built up on the word, a church that knows what it is to have victory on their knees before God. May God bless you.
Thank you, Gordon. I'm just going to continue where Gordon stopped, because we're talking about continuing in Jesus' doctrine, and thank you for that. Okay, thank you for that, your prayer as well, about the need for our churches to come back to the position where they should be, where people are in churches, where people are repentant and coming back to God. What we've seen is basically a deviation from what used to be to what it is now. The world has turned totally from what it used to be. And like we read in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 42, the way my Bible described it was that the community of believers, from verse 37 of that chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit had come, the 37 started by saying, he titled it the community of believers, and this is how he started. He said, when they have had these, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Great question. They just said, what shall we do? They've had Peter speaking about the great miracle, the great man called Jesus Christ. Then they asked him, what shall we do? And how did Peter answer them? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, that ye might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from these untoward generation. That was back then. What do we call it now? Where are we now? The world is coming open in our eyes. We are beginning to see the world. And we can boldly say the world we live in now is an untoward generation. Yes. Because it's clearly that things are happening. And he went on, he said, in verse 41, he said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they added unto them 3,000 souls. Verse 42. Which Gordon has already quoted, and he said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And verse 43, what did he say? And fear came upon every soul, because they continued, because they built a community of believers, the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. What did Jesus say? These signs shall follow them that believe. Look at Jesus' word and look at that verse there. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you will cast out demons. And that was what Peter was explaining here to them. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Continuing in Jesus' doctrine. And interestingly, in various organizations that I've been to, you see their position statement written on their walls, and in some places they call it the motto. They say, this is what we are. There was a time, I think it was Honda that brought out an advert and said, good thinking, good product. Good thinking, good product. That was what they were selling to people, because they think very well. Remember then, before the Japanese car came, what we used to have were all those big, massive cars built by the Americans. And the Japanese came and they started building small cars, which was very fit for the British road, actually. They were building small cars, and they were changing things around in such a way that they were thinking of how to make life easy. But that is a way of packaging themselves. But as Christians, how do we bring out our doctrine? What is actually our doctrine? Our doctrine is what we saw here in verse 42. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. As Gordon said, what is this apostles' doctrine? What does it mean? What does that mean? What they're saying basically is, these were the people that have been with Jesus. They have seen Jesus. They have learned from Jesus. And therefore, they are not just teaching us the Torah. They are also teaching us what they saw with Jesus. So they are also expounding on what they saw with Jesus. So basically, if you want to learn about Jesus, you have to be among Jesus' people. So when you call a Bible study, when you call a Bible detective, it is about coming together to have Jesus' fellowship. But when you call a Bible study and the church is not there, how do you then learn about Jesus? How do we do that? We can't do that on a Sunday, because a Sunday morning service is limited in terms of what we can give. These are the things that we're talking about this morning. When we call, and he said they continued in the fellowship, in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in prayer, and in breaking of bread. Praise the Lord. We break bread every Sunday morning. But do we even understand why we break bread? Do we have the depth knowledge of why we break bread? We're in the Lent season at the moment, and a lot of people are fasting and doing everything. But do we understand why we're going through that denial season? Do we understand what it means to us as Christians that Christ came? He lived in this world, he went on the cross, and he died. Or are we saying that salvation was already wrought for us right there? There's so many things that we need to know, and we need to establish among ourselves. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 says, for no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is the first foundation for us as Christians. That is the first thing that we need to understand. That is where our center point is. Every focus as a Christian should be on Jesus Christ. So if there's any church that preaches anything apart from Jesus Christ, then that is not a church of Christ. There is a song I love to sing. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. You know, this week has been very encouraging, because as I listened to the messages of Billy Graham, I was not opportune. I was too young when the ministry was going around. But as I listened to many of the things he was saying, and I began to see why that man was a consistent man of God. All he preached, and as I said at the beginning of the service, all he was preaching was, if anyone tells you anything apart from Jesus Christ, tell them no. What do you have today? You have people that want to interpret the Bible in the way that suits them. But this man says, I'm not preaching any other thing than the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not sharing any other thing with this word because that is the foundation. And like as Gordon said earlier, these people were hungry to hear the word of Jesus Christ. People came to Billy Graham's ministry in thousands, in millions, because he himself has already been rooted. They were talking about how he got converted. He went to a crusade, to a ministry of a man that was preaching, but he was invited by his friend. And when he got there, he kept going back. He went there once with his friend, and he kept going back. It wasn't a one time I've gone there and I've had it. He kept going back, and that was how he got converted. And once he got converted, he never stopped. So our salvation is not at the point of conversion. Our salvation is to be worked continuously. We need to work our salvation with fear and trembling. That's what the Bible says. So basically, when we say we'll become a Christian, and we limit ourselves to, I've become a Christian, I'm saved and secure. No. All alarms, you might be, but then you will not grow. And to grow, you need the word. You need to be rooted and grounded. That's what the Bible says. You need to be rooted and grounded in the word. The reason why we got to this point as a nation and as a world is the fact that Christianity, we took it with laxity. We turned the church to a meeting point instead of a fellowship point. We come to church quite all right. We wear the best of dresses on a Sunday morning. In those days when you used to wear the hat and you used to wear all the pins and everything on the book, you come to church quite all right. You take the seat and everybody, and you have the morning mass and you go back home. But then we were not developing ourselves. And as a result, gradually we went away. Our children are not being developed for the next generation. What did Joshua tell the people? He said, the children of Israel were telling the children of Israel that, tell this to your children and your children's children, for this God is our God. Forever it will be our God. They were telling them the history of how they crossed the Jordan. They were telling them the history of how they went through the wilderness. They were telling them the history of what happened, how water came out of the rock. They were telling them of manna, the bread that they did not work for. They were telling them, it's interesting how they told them that if you take that bread, if you take too much of that bread during the week, it will become maggot. But if you take double portion on a day before Sabbath, if you take on double portion on day before Sabbath, it will not get spoiled. These are the signs, these are the things that they were telling the children of Israel. And they were telling their own children. Remember that it is not the people that left Egypt that came into the promised land. Do you know that? But the people that came into the promised land knew the history of Egypt because they were told of the history of Egypt by the people that walked through the wilderness. And when they got into the promised land, they were also telling their children. Ask an average Jewish boy who grew up in the synagogue can tell you everything about the Torah. They can tell you everything about the Torah. But an average Christian boy today, can he tell you what John 3:16 is? It's just simple as that. That is where we are now. And the evil days are coming upon us gradually, and we're losing it. The world is changing in our face, and we're playing church. Yeah. This is what we need to look at. This is the issue that we need to look at, because the foundation that we lay is what we will meet. Paul was explaining in that First Chronicles chapter 3, he was explaining in 12 to 17 about different foundations to lay. the foundation of gold, silver, foundation of straws. And if you don't lay a solid foundation, it will be consumed by fire.
Right.
That's where we are now.
Right.
So basically, as a church, what is our challenge? How does that challenge us? How it challenges us is the fact that the apostles' doctrine there is just clear. The three things that are there, they continued in fellowship. Yes, we have fellowship on Sunday morning. But we also have prayer meetings, which is part of our fellowship. Do we come into our prayer meetings? Do we make it a duty to come into our prayer meetings? Our prayer meetings, if we have two people or three people, we are glad. And I'll be honest with you, in our Bible study, it's only the older ones that come to Bible studies. It's only the older ones that come to Bible studies. So what are we doing here? What are we talking about here? We want to build ourselves and equip ourselves for the challenges coming. I'm not saying this for you to come to church. I'm saying this because what is looming out there is bound to happen. Heaven is bound to fall. The world is bound to turn against you. But if you don't have what it takes, how are you going to face the battle?
Yeah.
You cannot give what you don't have. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm. So when there is nothing inside, you cannot give it. Or you're going to tell, when the challenge comes, oh, tell us about your Christianity. And my pastor said, no. What do you know? How do you know God? How powerful is God in you? How does the Holy Spirit operate in you? How do you feel about the Holy Spirit? What is your zeal for God? Your zeal for God. David is a king, and he wrote that psalm. He said, one thing I desire, to be in the presence of God. One thing I desire, continuously being in the presence of God, is our duty, is what we need to have. I understand it. I am faced with the same situation. I am also guilty of it. Because we get work, and our work takes us away from God. We get situation, and it takes us away from God. But God is not going to share work with us. He wants our undivided loyalty. He wants us to stand firm in this trying time. If a meeting is called, I believe that the best way forward is for us to come together and hold forth. There's a need for a prayer warriors in a fellowship, in the present world that we live in. There's a need for those that can easily speak the word into situation in the world that we live in now. But what do we have now? We are on a standstill. Christianity is on a standstill because we have actually taken ourselves out of the doctrines of the apostles. We have taken ourselves into limiting what God can do. The fellowship. Jesus encourages us, and this is what the people were coming to learn in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus, during his time with his disciples, he was always having a fellowship with them. How do I know this? In every parable, he tells the people the parable. Then they go back and ask him, "What does that mean?" He says it. They will all be there. Then they will say, "What does that mean?" So he will now have time explaining it to them. That's what the Bible dictates is all about. What does that mean? So he will now start explaining to them, this is the parable. Unto those that don't understand, this is unto those that are perishing, this is what it means. But for you, this is what it means. Parable of the sower, parable of the husbandman. He was telling them everything. They had time with him. And they were fellowshipping together. When they go into houses, they sit down. They have communion together. When someone is sick, when Peter's mother-in-law was sick, they went into the house. They had a prayer time together. When they called Jesus for a prayer for the girl that died, the centurion daughter that died, he went in with Peter and John. They had a prayer time together. That is example of a fellowship. So it is not just a Sunday morning when the church is full. No. Continuous. The Bible says they continued in the apostles' doctrine. It's a continuous activity. It is not one, it is not every Sunday morning pill. No. It is everyday continuous fellowship. Coming together, fellowshipping together. In prayer, Jesus gave a good example of his prayer life. And I enjoyed Jesus' prayer life so much that when Jesus preaches, the Bible says that he goes away into a quiet place and pray. Luke chapter 15, verse 6. He goes away into a quiet place and pray. Mark 1:35. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. He taught his disciples how to pray. He taught his disciples how to pray. How do we do this in the church? Do we even have time of sitting down together and praying? Do we have any teaching on praying? Do we spend time together to pray? And it's interesting that this church have different time of prayer. We move prayer from Tuesday morning to Tuesday evening, just to get the young people that are coming to the fellowship, that are coming to choir practice, to be able to join in. That's when they will even come late. Man inclusive. this is the whole things here that we're talking about. We want to encourage ourselves into a prayer life. We have prayer meeting, night vigil. How many of us come? We have Saturday prayer morning. How many of us come? And until we get ourselves equipped and established, we cannot reach out to people out there. There's no way, because we can't give what we don't have. When you fellowship and you pray, you strengthen yourself to be able to go out there. You prepare yourself for the challenges that is out there. Because Jesus said something to the disciples when they could not perform the miracle. He said, You can only do this by prayer and fasting. They were like, you just came. Oh, Master Jesus, yes, you just came. And what we've been trying to do all this while, you just did it once. Why can't we do it? I said, no, you can only do this by prayer and fasting. And those are the things that the apostle started teaching after the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Because the good thing is, as Christians, you need the Holy Spirit. As Christian, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there is also the continuous baptism of the Holy Spirit, which you need to be able to function. And when you want to function in that realm, you need the power of God overwhelming you. As an Old Testament student, I always enjoy it when they call a prophet to come and minister. And the prophet will say, bring me the Urim and the Thummim. That's in the Old Testament. They bring me the Urim and the Thummim. They call those things together and say, let them, the choir will sing, they will receive the mighty filling of the Holy Spirit before they can even speak. Because then, the Holy Spirit just come and go. But now the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you have to well it up. It's not because it's an oil of salvation. You have to well the oil up. It's like you want to fry, I don't know, In Africa, we fry plantain, and we need the oil to be hot to fry the plantain. If you want to fry a plantain, you can't just put the plantain in a cold oil. So you need the oil. You put the oil on, or you onion bhaji. If you want to fry onion bhaji, you put the oil on. You make it hot before you can put the plantain in, because you can put it into it. Is that correct? Am I right? Exactly. So you need the oil to be hot to put that in. So as Christians, that is how the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You can't just wake up. You know, interestingly, Some people went in the New Testament. They said they went out and said they wanted to do miracles. They told them, Peter, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? Who are you? Because they thought, oh, yes, we have been part of it, so we can. No, it doesn't work that way. You need the oil to be well up in you. And when the oil is well up in you, the power of God comes with signs and wonders. This is what we want in this end time. This is what we pray for in this end time. Thank God for this church. As Gordon said, breaking of bread. We do it every day. But it is not a ritual. I don't want us to see this as a ritual. This is a commandment of God for us to continue to dwell, to be in the apostles' doctrine. This is a commandment of God that he asks us to do in remembrance of him. But with an understanding of what this is where our salvation starts. This is the beginning of who we are. This is the beginning of a journey of Christianity. And if any man says he's in Christ, and he takes this for levity, then he's bringing a curse upon himself. That's what the Bible says. I'm not the one saying it. It's what the Bible says. But as you do these things, you prepare yourself. You empower yourself. You don't pick one and leave one. It's an holistic thing that we need to do. And we need to know that Christ did it. We also, if we say we are following Christ, we also need to do it. If you're a Christ follower, then you will continue in the apostles' doctrine. God bless you. Amen.